Nemo Sinis Nemon. From A Taste of Ismenian Water. By M.J. Bradley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 34. Le Cancre La. The long grass and dark green leaves of the orange trees trembled in the breeze. A scatter of white-jacketed chevaliers surveyed the small crowd, leaning on the gnarled trunks, wands in hands. Harry stood in their midst, bumping shoulders with Fair. Julian smiled, sitting atop a stack of logs, his long, dark hair fluttering. André and Bernard loomed behind him, their arms folded across their chests. "Are you ready?" Harry whispered.
"I am as ready as we can be."
Fair pulled out her wand.
"I will cast the wards and leave you. There should be split into attacking the wards and you. They will expect reinforcement."
"This is risky. Even if I can't probably break through any wards." Harry took a deep breath. "I really should get her a Fleur or Gabby to show me how to make walls that I can get through." "Wait." He caught her wrist as she reached for her wand. "Let's listen for a bit first. We might learn something." Vera nodded.
"Good idea."
Julian stretched and stood, balancing on the balls of his feet atop the stack of logs.
"Welcome," he spread his arms. "Welcome, my brothers and my sisters. My siblings, not in blabber than gift, I thank you for coming, for being brave, for understanding what must be done."
Vera made a quiet noise of disgust.
"He has been reading Grindelwald's old words."
"We are the saviors of the world."
Julian's sharp smile flashed across his face.
"I am my chevalier, and you and the brothers and sisters beside you."
He raised his wand, casting a string of glowing white lights over the grove.
"Centuries ago, in fear, we agreed to a statute of secrecy, and as they signed it in the ruins of Rome, our ancestors plunged their heads into the sands and set us on course for a catastrophe."
"What is the plan?"
Fair rasped, her dark eyes on the lights.
"After I leave."
"I can still operate out, right?" Harry asked.
"Of course,"
she said. "I will wipe them away." A faint thrill trickled through his veins, and he took a deep breath to still the pounding of his heart. "No more conqueror. No more chevaliers. No more ember-masked figure." Vera gave him a slow nod.
"I will do some damage before I leave."
"No." Harry slipped his wand from his sleeve. "I'll only catch you in the middle. Just get out."
"Very well,"
she whispered. Julian's blue eyes bored into Harry's. "To the wards now, Vera." He met the gaze, ignoring the sharp stabs of desire, picturing a slim silver ring with a purple spiral adorning it. "Quickly." A sharp smile spread across Julian's face.
"Bienvenue, Violet."
Magic fell in a shimmering curtain across the grove, and there vanished with a loud crack. The crowd melted away to the edge of the wards.
"Bonsoir, noir."
Harry slipped his wand from his sleeve, forcing magic through it, drawing white sparks into a tight spiral at its tip.
"Fulminis."
Lightning splashed off a bright wall of silver light. Ozone stung Harry's nose. André and Bernard grunted and swayed, their outstretched wands trembling as the blinding white beam crackled against their shield charm. The other chevaliers fanned out behind them, raising their wands. Harry twisted his wrist and whipped the lightning back around himself in a circle. It seared through trees, leaving glowing charred stumps and toppled branches above burnt, weeping corpses and drifting ash.
Not so average after all.
Julian whipped his mahogany wand up before his face and dropped from the stack of logs onto the balls of his feet.
And no doubt others are coming.
He thrust his army out, throwing up a gleaming shield of wards and weaving the stack of logs into a lattice of vines.
Then now bring these wards down. I will hold to our defense.
Bernard swiveled and gestured at the chevaliers. They hurled spells on the Vare's wards. Colors burst over them, washing in ripples across the bright shimmer.
You're not escaping.
Lassera. Harry watched his purple curse splash against the shield, drawing on the amber-masked figure as the cold ball of hate settled beneath his ribs.
Avada Kedavra.
The vines lunged, swallowing the curse.
Mad.
Harry drew up every drop of magic.
Fulminis!
He hammered the lightning into the shield and grit his teeth. Julian's bright eyes studied him over the flashing, crackling beam of power.
You are serving a short-term good, Violet.
He glanced at his trembling shield.
Every drop of blood spilled to prevent our world colliding with the Muggle one is a drop of blood wasted. The collision is inevitable.
The shimmer of Vare's wards faded and flickered.
Julian! Bernard cried. We're almost through!
Harry dragged more magic up and forced it through his wand. Julian grimaced, his shield wavering.
What do you think happens if we keep killing each other over this while the Muggles grow stronger? When our worlds collide, who is left weak and who has grown strong?
The shield burst. Julian deflected the lightning into the ground with a slash of his wand and a swirl of dense, dark fog. Only if the collision is inevitable, Harry said, unleashing a hail of spells. They burst upon Andre's shield in showers of bright sparks.
Andre, it's Bernard!
Julian raised his wand before his face and drew himself up.
I will guard your backs. No.
Andre stepped in front of Julian and leveled his wand at Harry's chest.
I will stop him, Julian. You go back to the stronghold with the others.
Julian's jaw twitched.
If you insist, Andre, I do.
Andre unleashed a storm of blue curses, whipping his wrist through wand motions and gritting his teeth. Harry batted them away, striding closer and forcing his arm faster until it blurred and his muscles stung.
That's not natural,
Andre hissed, stumbling back and throwing up his shield. Harry's spells exploded on it, bursting the bubble of white magic in a flash of light. Julian swiveled on his heel and sent a lance of orange into Vare's wards, tearing a hole through. The shimmer frayed and fell.
Le Chevalier vanished with a loud crack.
Harry thrust his magic into the air, layering it over and over, ducking and bending through Andre's spells. Julian vanished with a quiet snap.
Mad.
Harry closed his wards over Andre. Cold fury raced through his veins and his heart hammered against his ribs.
Where's he gone? You won't learn from me.
Andre hurled more blue spells at Harry. He swatted them aside.
I almost had him, but almost is not enough.
Frost crept over the grass at his feet and his breath misted in the air. Andre shivered.
Your magic is not natural, he set his jaw. But that will kill you for Julian, or the same.
I will kill you, Harry said. Then I will find Julian, and I will kill him. He touched their thoughts together, catching a glimpse of a bright orange fruit sitting on a wooden table.
Legitimacy is useless, Andre spat. Julian has told me how to divert it. Even if I cannot separate my thoughts, you will see nothing.
It doesn't matter if he escapes.
Harry dropped the wards.
I just have to see where he's apparating.
Andre's eyes flicked to the waning shimmer and a star-filled skyline and low mountains flashed through their thoughts.
No.
He clenched his fist tight around his wand and the orange reappeared among their thoughts.
I will not flee and lead you right to him.
Harry smothered a flash of irritation and raised his wand.
I'll just kill you then.
Andre thrust his wand at the burning branches and charred trees. They drew together, scraping through ash-veiled grass, bending and snapping into a tall wicker figure veiled in a bright yellow glow.
You won't steal our dream.
Harry slashed his wand forward.
I won't let you.
The hazy basilisk shattered the wicker figure, spraying splinters across the grove. Andre flinched behind his arm. Harry sent a piercing hex through Andre's ribs in a spray of red and held his breath as the splinters tore into him. Burning pain lanced through his elbow, calf, and thigh.
You won't find him.
Andre forced his wand arm up with his other hand, dropping to one knee as blood blossomed across his white jacket. Harry put a piercing hex between his eyes. Gray fluid spattered the grass and flecks of gleaming bone scattered across the splinters and ash.
I let him get away.
He clenched his jaw.
I failed. I was meant to get rid of them. I should be going back to Fleur to tell her there's nothing to worry about.
He ripped the jagged pieces of wood from his leg and arm, gasping as a wave of pain crashed over him.
You deserve it for failing.
He pressed his wand to the bleeding gash in his calf, letting the throbbing, searing pain wash through him. Small splinters spat from his flesh as his skin crept back.
The more it hurts to get.
Fomoris and enter, Harry murmured, clawing up a few scraps of magic. The bleeding slowed and the flesh knitted itself together, skin closing over the wounds. He took a deep breath.
I still have that image of the skyline. Maybe we can use that.
Harry slid his wand back into his sleeve and wrenched the world back past him, collapsing into a chair in the sunshine room.
Are you injured?
Greece's pink eyes flicked from the blood-stained, torn robes over his legs to the hole above his elbow.
Really?
Not anymore,
Harry sighed. Julien got away.
Julien?
Too much legitimacy, he said. It's strange to call him Le Conqueror or anything like that, having seen him as Julien so often.
Be careful. Legitimacy is a dangerous magic.
I know. Harry smeared blood and splinters off his hands onto his thighs. I killed Andre and everyone who wasn't wearing white, too.
Andre?
Fair rasped. One of the Chevalier, he replied. He was good. I only got a glimpse of the skyline from him. That's all we have to find Julien's stronghold.
I can use this skyline to narrow the net, Greece said. They said they operated.
They did, Harry said.
Then it must be within the aberration range of the average wizard.
Greece steepled his fingers.
That narrows it down a lot. We should be able to find him.
Somewhere within 400 miles,
Harry grimaced.
It could take ages to find him.
There are a lot of places within 400 miles of there. Greece's pink eyes held Harry's with a curious little gleam.
Most wizards can only operate a couple 100 miles, really. We'll call it 300 to be safe, but only wizards like Le Canguelin can manage 400 or more. There won't be too many possible locations, not given you'll have to have a stronghold on French-controlled soil.
Good.
Harry swallowed the little ball of cold.
Then the masked figure needs to be gone before our baby is born.
Grindelwald operated over 600 miles back during the Earth's Second War,
Fer rasped.
It is the longest known. Miss Goodhead and Bucky,
Rhys muttered.
A well-made Bucky can take you up to 700 miles. We would have much more trouble finding them.
It must be nearly 1,000 miles from Hogwarts to the Willow Tree.
A small smile spread across Harry's lips.
Such a brilliant birdwife.
He slid his wand from his sleeve and conjured a small glass bottle. I'll leave you the memory, Greece. Harry pictured the flash of the skyline and drew a short strand of silver mist from his temple, letting it pool into the bottle. Here. Greece plucked the bottle from his fingers.
It shouldn't take long. There are not many mountains like this in French territory within operating distance. They will be able to close the net from there.
His pale forehead wrinkled.
You will not have to wait long to get your confrontation with Le Conqueror.
Good. Harry pushed himself to his feet and grimaced as a dull ache tugged at his bones. I want to go home.
Well done, Violette, Greece said. Very well done.
Merci. Harry wrenched the world back past him and stepped into the kitchen.
"You have always in your clothes, Maman."
Fleur's arm slid around his neck and the curve of her stomach pressed against his back.
"Are you hurt?"
"Just a couple of splinters." He turned, bending to press a kiss to her small smile. "Nothing to worry about. Conqueror got away, but Grace thinks we'll be able to find his stronghold, and I'm not going to let him escape me twice."
"Bon."
She released a soft sigh, slipping around in front of him and burying her face in the crook of his neck.
"I want the baby out."
"It's not finished cooking yet," Harry said. "It's not done." Fleur's soft, warm lips curved against his collarbone.
"Neither is my nest of meringue.
I should really get on that." He wrapped his arms around her shoulders. "I just need to find a way to hide it from your sister."
"Clearly warding her out won't work."
"Not unless they're blood warts," Harry said. "That's really the only thing I can think of." He ran his fingers through her hair. "Although at some point, it'd be handy if you could teach me how to create anti-apparition wards that I can still apparate through."
"You just make the magic permeable," Fleur said. "It's really easy."
"That's right, rub it in my face, Morange," he chuckled. "It's okay. I know how brilliant and perfect you are. Grease was telling me about how the best portkeys can take you up to 700 miles, and there you were at 17.
"It was hard to make that portkey to bring you here," she murmured. "I had to put every drop of magic into it.
It must be 1,000 miles. Harry kissed her on the top of the head. "What an amazing bird wife you are."
"The most amazing?"
He laughed. "I'm fairly sure I only have the one bird wife, despite Gabby's best attempts." Fleur hummed.
"Most amazing bird girl, then."
"Also true." Harry leant back and tilted her chin up to meet her eyes. "You seem happy." He patted himself down. "I'm not on fire."
"I slept well. Gabby was telling me some more about that the two of you have improved the pensive before Mama and Papa headed off to work."
"We were kind of expecting you to get pouty about us doing that together." He kissed the tip of her nose.
"I know you'd rather I was making things with you." "I'm in a good mood."
Fleur's small smile sent a warm glow through his chest.
"The baby was kicking."
"And that made you happy?"
"Of course." Her lips shook. "You can help make it pensive with that little harpy, but you made a baby with me."
"I realized you're winning," Harry grinned. "You do like winning."
"I do not lose."
Fleur's mouth curved into a faint smirk.
"Don't say try was a tournament. It doesn't count if it was rigged.
I beat you at cards a few days ago, too."
"I let you win because I was distracted," she said.
"You lost because you were pouting about me going off to the Caribbean," Harry said, toying with the tips of her silver tresses. "You can't win at cards if you throw of them at your sister."
"She was being annoying."
A slight pout crept onto her lips.
"And it wasn't the Caribbean I was upset about."
"I know." A little of the humor drained away.
"I'm sorry." "It's okay, Monka," Fleur whispered. "You make good memories with her, of course you'd want to keep them."
Harry held her close, letting the heat of her skin soak into him.
"And like you said, I made a baby with you, so you're still winning."
She hummed.
"Yes."
Her fingers curled around his wrist and drew his hands down onto her stomach.
"See if you can feel it."
"Kicking." Harry spread his fingers over her belly.
"Can I feel it like this?"
"Of course you can." Fleur's lips twitched.
"I can definitely feel it."
Worry gnawed at him.
"Does it hurt?"
Harry held his breath.
"No," she laughed. "It's okay more and more. It's just like a twitch. It makes me jump."
He let out a long sigh. "That's good. Sometimes it seems like you've got a bit of a raw deal with this."
"It's fair," she whispered. "You have to put up with me being less than perfect. Silly bird wife."
Harry kissed her on the cheek. "It's not your fault."
"It still can't be fun to put up with," Fleur murmured. "I don't like it."
"You're perfect for me," he promised. "It's not like I don't have the occasional moment of madness."
"You and your trust issues."
She wrinkled her nose.
"But you cannot panic and run away. I will chase you down."
"You mean you'll waddle after me like a duck?" Harry grinned at her pout. "You're not running anywhere for a few months."
"I do waddle, don't I?" Fleur sighed. I must be so unattractive, no wonder the little harpy is so smug.
Gabby's secretly really jealous, Harry said. That's why she keeps making jokes about giving our baby a half-sibling.
Fleur laughed. Only of what she can fear from us. She's not keen on the pregnancy bit now she's seen me do it. Gabby is shorter too, so she'll be even more of a ball than I am.
Something twitched beneath his hand, and a small smile spread across Harry's face.
Was that it? He murmured. I felt that.
That's it.
She rested her hand over his. It doesn't happen very much yet.
The green-eyed little girl beamed behind glass, and a hot lump swelled up in Harry's throat.
Shit them, he whispered in her ear, pulling her close. Shit them.
Fleur buried her face into his chest.
Let's go back to our room, before Gabby comes to bother us.
You don't really mind that much.
I'm very happy and I want to spend this time with you,
she whispered.
So I'm going to waddle back to our room, and you are coming with me.
Harry drew her arms up around his neck and bent to slip an arm under her legs, lifting her into his embrace.
Or I can carry you.
Or this. Fleur rested her head on his shoulder and clung to him, her fingers curling into his clothes.
This also works.
For the text of this and other stories, visit alltheblankcanvas.com, as well as patreon.com/theblankcanvas. Music by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded. QA assistance by Sakiko and Ohana. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.